Regular listeners know we welcome in our director, Phil Corvo, once a month to talk with you about all things Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, Phil is out of commission this month, so our second in command, Mike Crane, is our guest this hour. And we want to know your questions and your feedback about what you hear or don't hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. Call us at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 past 8 on this Monday, December the 8th, and it is the second Monday of the month with Mike, as opposed to the first Monday of the month with Phil. Mike Crane is the Chief Operating Officer for Wisconsin Public Radio. He, among other things, oversees the programming and operations on both of our networks, the Ideas Network, which you're listening to right now, and our NPR News and Classical Music Network. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, and I might say I'm trying to start thinking of ourselves as having three networks.
Oh, that's right. We have HD as well.
That's right, and one of the things that you know, we always like to mention things that are happening around the state with Wisconsin Public Radio, and one of the things we're very pleased to report is that we're very close to the point where everywhere in the state where we have a signal, there is an HD signal available as well. And what that would mean in most cases is that there is a classical service 24/7, WPR Classical, we're calling it right now, that is available to people. And we've been building this out in phases to basically offer more programming than we've been able to offer in the past.
In fact, some opera going out to Milwaukee HD listeners, I understand, pretty soon?
That's right. Actually, it's happening now. Because of the loss of WFMR a year or two ago, there was no classical music in Milwaukee. And, of course, we're really trying to figure out a way to be a part of the solution to that. And on HD, on WHAD, people can listen to WPR Classical. And we were very pleased to be able to add the Metropolitan Opera broadcasts live from New York each Saturday throughout the winter and into the spring. And that was new. That means that now folks that have an HD radio or that go to our website and listen to the stream can hear those live Met Opera broadcasts.
I've got to get with the technology and with the times, Mike. Are you going to have an HD radio on your Christmas list?
Not Christmas list, and I'll tell you why. I like to have something really portable, and they're just getting there. I don't want to dig into the technology too much, but apparently the computer chip, because that's part of what makes it digital, the computer chip runs hot, is what I understand. And so they need to have one that runs cooler and could be something put in a device you could put in your pocket. So as soon as that comes out, I think I'll be ready. Meanwhile, I do have one in my office and listen right there. And I think that's probably the way that I'd personally go.
Well, we will, I'm sure, fill another hour with new technology and HD radio, but we often use this program to talk about news from Wisconsin Public Radio and to get listener feedback. One item of news that we have is that you are filling in for Phil Corvo, who's recuperating from heart surgery. The last month he wasn't able to be with us, and he's not with us this month because in between he had some heart surgery. How's he doing?
He seems to be doing very well. Mm-hmm. As anyone who knows anyone who's had heart surgery knows, it's very serious surgery. And he's on the mend. He's past the part where he's in the hospital, mm-hmm. and he's now working on getting stronger. And we can't wait to have him back. You know, the people that know Phil personally or that work with him here often talk about his laugh. He has the most wonderful laugh. Sometimes mm-hmm. you hear it right here on the first Mondays with Phil, and we all miss that. And, of course, he's a great friend and advisor for many of us, including myself, and we can't wait to have him back.
Well, get well soon, Phil. We miss you, and we will keep this spot ready for you upon your return. Meanwhile, Mike, you and other guests, I presume we'll keep the first Monday or second Monday of the month going, so listeners can keep in touch with you.
Absolutely.
And listeners can be in touch, too, with Phil if they want to.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably the easiest thing, and we're doing this even for most employees and so on, is we're asking that people send any well wishes directly here to the station, and we'll make sure that he gets them. So that could either be just use the listener feedback form on our website, WPR.org, to send him something, probably make the subject get well, Phil, or something like that. Or you could certainly send a card. I know he loves to receive cards, and you can just send it to Phil, care of the station right here.
Well, what else is new with Wisconsin Public Radio, Mike? We have the holidays coming up. That usually means some special holiday programming. I assume that's the case this year, too.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Some of it on the Ideas Network right here. I know I always look forward to the Capital Steps Politics Takes a Holiday. That's coming up on New Year's Day at 5 o'clock here on the Ideas Network. And on the News and Classical Network, there's just a ton of stuff. And a couple of the ones that people always ask me about, is St. Olaf going to be on? Well, yes, certainly it is. The St. Olaf Christmas Festival is going to be on Christmas Eve, December 24th at 1 p.m., and the other one on that same day that if it's missed by any public station that normally carries it, they hear about it. Mm-hmm. And that is the Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols. And what this is it's a live broadcast from England that is heard throughout the world on the BBC and on American Public Media, which we're affiliates of, as well as National Public Radio. And that's 9 o'clock on December 24th on the News and Classical Network. And there's a whole list. We'll have it on the website and so on. But those are a couple of the highlights.
Yeah, I will report that I know that most of our talk shows, the weekday talk shows, will be here throughout the holiday period with live call-in talk shows. Most holidays, except for Christmas Day, there will be taped encore broadcasts of the talk shows on Christmas Day. But otherwise, as you're out and about doing your holiday stuff, we'll be here keeping you company.
Well, Joy, I'd be curious if anyone wants to call and comment about this. We had some specials on Thanksgiving that were kind of a little different. We had a kind of a, oh my gosh, what do I do about my turkey call-in show with the host of The Splendid Table, which is a program we did once, Gary, here. I'm curious what people thought about that. And then we had a series of radio documentaries that broadcast in the afternoon from the Third Coast Audio Festival. And I'd be curious to know what that or what other things are on people's mind.
Yeah. And one of the programs that is still on Wisconsin Public Radio on the Ideas Network on Saturdays is Calling All Pets. But an announcement has been made that this program will be going out of production and national distribution, a decision made by you, Mike Crane. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, by me is working with Phil, of
right,
course. We
right.
worked that out together and talked extensively with Patricia and Larry as we got to the point of making the decision. And basically, what people may know is that Wisconsin Public Radio distributes several programs nationally. We've got What Do You Know? With Michael Feldman, and To the Best of Our Knowledge, Zorba Pastor on Your Health, and Calling All Pets. The first three are distributed by Public Radio International as partners, and so they help, among other things, to market the program, but also there's a carriage fee that is associated with those programs that helps to defray some of our costs and in producing the program. In the case of Calling All Pets, that used to be the case somewhere in the past, and I forget the detail in terms of exactly when that was so. But for the last few years, we've been distributing it on our own, and the decision we made was that really wasn't sustainable anymore. And so actually the news at the time was that it would be going out of production. It is, in fact, out of production now, but you do still hear it on Saturdays. And basically that's in part because we want to figure out together with listeners what is it that goes there next. Even archived Calling All Pets is kind of fun and so on. The other thing that happened just recently, and some listeners were able to call in and talk with Patricia on Larry Mueller's show. She's going to come in periodically during the week and talk with people about pets because just because Calling All Pets doesn't go away, it doesn't change where our heart is about our pets. I think that most listeners probably have a pet and some many multiples of pets, and we care deeply about these members of our family. And so whether it's Patricia McConnell or Sandy Sawchuk or whatever, we expect to continue that as a focus.
Well, what might replace Calling All Pets on Wisconsin Public Radio?
You might ask that. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, I don't know. You mentioned that it's going out of production, and in fact, we are going to distribute the program nationally through the end of June, because just like Wisconsin Public Radio, it can take a while for stations to make a decision. And this is something I would love to turn this question to our listeners for today. What do you think belongs there if it can't be Calling All Pets? And I think that is a presumption that we have to start with. What belongs there instead? You know, even with two or three networks, depending on how you count them, there are many programs that we don't have the opportunity to broadcast on Wisconsin Public Radio. So this is an opportunity to take a look at that, and I'd welcome hearing from people.
We are talking with Mike Crane about all things Wisconsin Public Radio. Mike is the Chief Operating Officer for Wisconsin Public Radio, and in this month for Phil Corvo, we invite your suggestions as to what might replace Calling All Pets on the Ideas Network, or any other questions or feedback that you have. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email, talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up tomorrow at this time, we'll talk about a program that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, As It Happens, from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. As It Happens is on at 8 o'clock each weeknight on the Ideas Network. The longtime, now retired host of the program, Mary Lou Finley, has written a book about the history and highlights of As It Happens, and we'll talk about that tomorrow between 8 and 9, and we will welcome maybe some of your favorite moments from As It Happens, or any questions you might have about As It Happens and the CBC, coming up tomorrow between 8 and 9 in the morning. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. We're talking about Wisconsin Public Radio, and our lines, Mike, are full right now, so let's go right to them and take our first caller, Susan in Madison. Hi, Susan. You're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to make a pitch for putting Lynn Rosetto back on the air. I enjoyed her on Thanksgiving. I enjoyed it when she was on before, and I missed it when you took her off.
So that's the Splendid Table host, right?
Yes, the one you had on Thanksgiving that you were just mentioning.
Right. So tell me a little bit more about what you like about the program.
Well, I think she has just such a wide appreciation for all the different styles of cooking and just seems to really be in love with food and all the different ways to enjoy it. So it's I learn something every show.
Thanks very much, Susan. I think, Mike, hold on before you respond, because we have another caller, Leanne in Madison, who I think echoes that sentiment. Hi, Leanne. You're on the air.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, actually, I do. I feel exactly the same way. I really miss the Splendid Table. I actually go out of my way to download the podcast, but I'm so busy I don't get a chance to listen to it every week. So every now and then I'll catch up on a few episodes at once. But I really love the Sterns that Lynn Rosetta Casper has on at the beginning of each show, and they talk about different restaurants and neat food all over the country. And she has Christopher Kimball on regularly, and that's really interesting, the Cook Illustrated editor. And so I it's a show that I really value, and I would love to hear it back on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yeah. I remember, Mike, when that came off, it in part was because a couple of new programs were put on. And whenever you put a new program on, a program often has to go away. And I think Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me and some other additional programs were put on the weekend. And Splendid Table was one that was cut. Maybe now this is an opportunity to bring it back.
Could be. Mm-hmm. You know, there are at least two right top of mind reasons why what you said is true. One is the simple fact of the day, you know, that if one program is on, another one isn't, unless you have another network to put it on, which helps us a little bit. And then the other is finances, which is that, you know, we're very mindful of resources being finite, and many programs do have some kind of a carriage fee for the stations that pick it up. And so balancing that against all of the other needs and the need to do local programming and so on is always a challenge, but one that we enjoy taking on behalf of listeners.
Yeah. Well, thanks to both of our callers who recommend bringing back the Splendid Table. Don't want to tell callers what to say, but, you know, let's maybe some other ideas that you have. We've got that one on the table already. So other ideas that you might have for programs you would like to hear to replace Calling All Pets on Wisconsin Public Radio, or any other questions you have about programming or other aspects of Wisconsin Public Radio, welcome during this hour as we talk with Mike Crane, Wisconsin Public Radio's Chief Operating Officer. Our next caller is Ed in Frederick. Hi, Ed, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you, Joy. Mike, my question to you is, Minnesota Public Radio has an alternative music station they call The Current, and it's absolutely fantastic. I'm wondering, first of all, are you familiar with it? And secondly, would Wisconsin Public Radio ever consider a venture like that?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, familiar. And a lot of people do talk about The Current. It's in some ways, when it was started, it was the talk of public radio. Wow, Minnesota's doing a third channel. And we were very excited to know that they were venturing in that direction. Now, there is some controversy in the Twin Cities about it, though, because a longtime classical music station, WCAL, was purchased by Minnesota Public Radio, and then they kind of reconfigured their networks, and adding The Current, they subtracted a longstanding classical music service as well in the community. So that was a source of worry to some. In fact, now to move to, well, would we consider it? Certainly, it's something that's on our minds. The same question might be true in our case, and we don't have anywhere right now anyway a third signal in a community to pick things up in quite the way that The Current has. But there is another way, and we mentioned earlier the HD radio. In addition to being able to add one channel, if you think of the current signal of our Ideas Network stations is HD1 in the community, then HD2 typically is classical music on almost all of our repeaters around the state right now as we're heading there. But the technology allows an HD3 or even an HD4, and so one of the things that I heard about pretty, and I'd known about this, but I was lobbied by our own Rick Ryer in central Wisconsin saying, well, what about exponential radio? And that is a 24/7 alternative music service that's provided by WXPN, which is in Philadelphia. And they're extremely well received in that community and around the country.
Are they the producers of World Cafe?
Yeah, that's right. And so they have a whole channel that they provide. And as we look at expanding that HD service, that's one of the things that we would like to consider.
Well, interesting, because there was a couple of mentions in our listener logs, as we refer to them. Anytime somebody emails us or calls our audience services department, all those comments are recorded and logged, and we get to look at them. And one says, I moved to Madison from Milwaukee, and I miss World Cafe. I also miss Latino USA. Any chance that these could be considered for Madison? Another listener, I would like to hear a wider range of music programs on Wisconsin Public Radio. You're heavy on classical, but ignoring pop and rock and world. What about those comments? HD radio, the answer, you think, for those people too?
It's certainly part of the answer, although there's also a lot of talk now about how you don't need to necessarily have an HD radio to receive these services. More and more opportunities are there to listen to them online. And I know that one of the things that Alan Reland has been playing with, Alan is in charge of our web efforts, is something called the Public Radio Tuner that would be available initially for iPhones and iPods. Probably the iPod Touch from what I've seen. That's going to be available. People can just get that on their mobile device, so it may well be that more and more people can do it even before we could get to it.
We will move on and go to another caller, Jenny in Appleton. Hi, Jenny, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you. I was wondering if there was a venue that could be added, something along the line of going green or living green. That seems to be becoming such a popular topic, and one that it's pretty difficult yet to find a good volume of information on, so hearing something on different topics of that would be nice. And then what ties into that also is perhaps organic living or more natural products and foods.
Yeah, certainly a number of our talk shows, like Larry Mueller's talk show, and from time to time I'll do different topics on various days, but not, you want a regular hourly, weekly program, Jenny.
I think so. I think there's so much information out there, and there are so many things that we need to begin to look at much more seriously that it would be helpful.
Mike, what about that?
That's very interesting. There is a program that might be considered as we're looking at the weekend programming. It was from NPR. I think someone else is sending it now. It's called Living on Earth. That might be a possibility. And certainly we have, with 9.5 hours daily of call-in shows, we have the opportunity to kind of reconfigure how much we talk about something. So I would think as that continues to be of interest to people that you would find we would talk about it more rather than less.
I'm sure we will. Thank you very much, Jenny, for that suggestion. Let's see, we have EJ in Fond du Lac who emails this suggestion. Of course, nothing will fill the void created by the good advice and good humor of Patricia and Larry, but it would be wonderful to have a rebroadcast of the best of Wisconsin Public Radio, one of the best shows from the week. Allow listeners to cast their vote on what was the week's best show. Not an easy task with such quality broadcasting. Thanks for great conversations available nowhere else. So thanks to EJ for that email.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know that the paper here in Madison has a reader's choice option where they look for people to vote online and choose one of the stories that would go on the front page. So,
yeah, well,
intriguing.
And we will be soon, Mike, putting on a new feature on our website called Public, is it Public Interactive?
Public Interactive is the company that has created it. The software, which we probably won't normally even refer to it, but it's called Public Action. And what it basically is a way for us to interact with listeners in terms of the technology. And people are familiar with these sorts of things, whether it's the ability to put a comment on someone's story on the newspaper. Like I know I've commented a few times on the columnist that does the words column in the Journal Sentinel from Milwaukee. And so it's in that sense, that's the basic technology is an ability to comment. But and maybe you can speak to this, too, in terms of what you're thinking for your show. But the idea is that we would interact more even than we have the chance to on the air.
Yeah, we're talking about using this once we establish it on our webpage as a place where people can express their opinion on a particular issue that's in the news, something that we have talked about on the program, maybe solicit more suggestions and feedback through this website forum and have conversations, maybe have votes like what EJ is suggesting. You know, maybe it won't be a vote of the best of Wisconsin Public Radio program, but you know, some kind of poll on an issue of the day.
Well, like your straw polls that you do once in a while, or something like that. And I know that some stations have used this sort of technology to sort of try to change how things actually get to the air. And here's what I mean. You know, normally you work with Rob and Cynthia and so on to come up with ideas for the show. And then, you know, in my experience as a listener, for instance, well, there it is, and now we're talking with Mike or whatever. But this sort of software could be used to advance a story earlier. Like, you know, you could some stations have done this where they say, well, next week we're going to talk about this. Maybe you could help us find a guest or a way of asking a sharper, better question, that sort of thing, and Public Action would facilitate that sort of thing.
So anyway, I'll look forward to that. We'll certainly announce more when it's actually ready to go, but it shouldn't be too long from now. Let's go back to the phones and take David in Milwaukee. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
One of my thoughts, given that the time slot is 7 a.m. on Saturday morning, is that perhaps there should be a statewide children's program. And that could be a call-in program. It would be great for building a future audience in the first place, getting kids used to calling into WPR. But that's an ideal time to not have the kids in front of the TV, perhaps for parents to learn a lot about whatever, arts, creativity, organics, gardening, all those things done at a kid level, so that the kids could actually be learning something on a Saturday morning at 7 a.m. And then for the afternoon replay time, perhaps that's where you put in the best of WPR or the cooking show or something like that. Because most grown-ups would probably like to sleep in on Saturday morning anyhow.
Well, you would, huh, David? No. What about that idea? We get that suggestion from time to time, Mike, more programming for children.
It's a possibility. It can be. Here's the things I would think we'd need to figure out how to overcome. And that is, I think you'd have to get the adults to turn the radio on for the kids, or quite possibly the way that things are going these days, to even put a radio in the kids' room. Now, I grew up, I was listening to, I remember a beat-up old plastic radio that my dad had from pretty much my earliest age that I can remember, but that's not how kids grow up anymore. And so it would be fun to try to figure that out. I'm really only aware of one significant commitment to kids programming on the radio that's of that sort of nature, and that's a program that's actually on WXPN in Philadelphia that might be a possibility to learn from.
Yeah, it's a call-in for kids?
Well, there are sort of interactive mm-hmm. aspects like that, and there's also features and special mm-hmm. guests, that sort of thing.
But Wisconsin Public Radio wouldn't create a program like this, Mike?
Well, we might, although, you know, we haven't talked about this yet, but of course we're very mindful of budgets and income and so on. And I don't imagine, unless things get much better, much faster, that the next thing we would be doing is developing a new show ourselves.
Right, Mike. We just had this program on our state capitol report about the state's budget crisis and the $5.4 billion budget deficit that the state faces in the next 2 years. What does this mean, and all the talk about cutting spending, what does this mean for Wisconsin Public Radio and our listeners?
You know, I think that some of what I want to express is uncertainty. You know, the news has changed so rapidly. The governors were meeting with President-elect Obama just the other day and asked for $40 billion of help for state budgets. And I don't think anyone thinks that number will go down by the time that Mr. Obama becomes president. So that's kind of a moving target in terms of what may happen with the state budget. But there are a few things I think I can confidently indicate. One is that the state budget is a part of the funding for Wisconsin Public Radio, but that we also receive some federal funding, about 10 or 12% of our budget, and very significant support from listeners and from businesses. And the thing that I'm hoping will happen is what has tended to happen in past downturns, which is that stations have been able to turn to listeners to support as strongly or even more strongly than they might otherwise. We'll have to see how that goes. One thing I have said to kind of conclude that thought is I've talked with my bosses about this, and we'll be part of the solution for sure. You know, if that means tightening our belts, which it will, mm-hmm. We're going to do that because we all want to get through this recession successfully. And certainly one of the things that we found out powerfully during the whole election cycle is how important it was to have public radio to talk about it. So I'd ask you, you're going to talk about it some more, aren't you? That I think is
Absolutely.
Part of the solution as well.
Mm-hmm. And we had a fun drive in the fall right during the height of the news of the world recession. And frankly, I was a little bit surprised, Mike, I don't know if you were, that while we didn't quite make the goal, we came pretty darn close to it. It was pretty gratifying that people, even during tough economic times, were willing to donate.
Well, that's right. And I think that the final total was about 5% below our goal, which is very close. Now, that said, we continue our efforts to raise funds as we continue to the end of the calendar year. And that includes mailings to members and so on, and things have slowed down a bit. So, of course, people are very worried about writing that check or giving the credit card number, and we understand that. And we hope that if their means allow, that they will continue to respond to that. And that's also something. Do we have time to mention? There's a special fundraiser that we're going to have. Should be a really excellent program to listen to as well. And it's coming up on December 27th. It'll be here on the Ideas Network and also on the News and Classical Network. And it's called The Best of Public Radio 2008. And that's an effort that's being done with about 60 stations and networks around the country to encourage year-end giving. And so we'll have more about that as we get closer to it.
And we'll have a bunch of Wisconsin Public Radio programs on this Best of Public Radio 2008?
I hope so. I know we've submitted some things from our programs, and we'll see.
So that'll be on, what, an all-day affair on December 27th?
It's a three-hour program. Mm-hmm. And it'll be on from 9 to noon on both networks,
okay.
And then there'll be a repeat on the Ideas Network as well so that more people can catch it.
And I'm sure we'll have more information about this posted on our website, along with all the other news about Wisconsin Public Radio that matters to you. You can go to our website anytime, WPR.org. There's spots there for you to send questions and feedback and program suggestions, a spot where you can send get well wishes to Phil Corvo. You can go there anytime and make a comment about a program or ask a question, and we'll try to get back to you. WPR.org. Right now, you can talk with Mike Crane, Wisconsin Public Radio's Chief Operating Officer, by calling 1-800-642-1234 or send an email, talk@WPR.org. We welcome your feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio and this hour, taking some suggestions on what programs you would like to hear, especially on the weekend, to replace the departing Calling All Pets. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Kathleen Dunn is with you after 9 o'clock. It's All Things Political with Kathleen Dunn and her guests discussing the latest economic and political news coming up after 9. Right now, talking with Mike Crane, who is Wisconsin Public Radio's Chief Operating Officer. Mike is with us on this second Monday of the month, as opposed to the first Monday with Phil Corvo. Phil Corvo is recovering from heart surgery. He's recuperating from surgery, and we hope to have Phil back sometime in the near future. But until then, good to have Mike Crane with us. And so, Mike, you're willing to come back on the air in January to do New Year's resolutions for Wisconsin Public Radio sometime?
I like that idea, yeah. Certainly, I'll be here. Or I know last month you had Cheryl on, and that was a really great conversation. And we'll keep the seat warm for Phil
until
he can be back.
Our next caller is Luba in Madison. Hi, Luba. You're on the air.
Hi. I have two questions, but I wanted to ask, I have three, actually, and one wasn't mentioned to the person who received my calls. One is, how far back do the programs that you give on radio, the talk show programs, go back archiving? And two, is there a chance of having a discussion of bills earlier that are, that you find in the local newspapers? Daily. And a third one is, there used to be a program on WHA years and years ago where you had, I think it was three professors who discussed the newspaper events, the newspaper's columns or material that were discussed. There were foreign newspapers that were discussed.
A program where the newspaper editors had a round table, a panel discussion about issues.
I'm sorry, I put it very badly.
No, that's what I do recall that from some time ago. But all right, well, Mike, let's try to take these in order. How far back do the archives go? We archive our programs, our talk shows on our website.
Just keeps growing. Mm-hmm. We've got at least 3 or more years that are immediately available, and The main question, which becomes less an issue over time, is that it costs to store things. And then the other concern sometimes is that from an editorial perspective, the news ages. Mm-hmm. But it's about 3 years now. But we wrestle with archives of, where we have them going back nearly 90 years. And so many of the older materials are actually housed either over at the library here on the UW campus or in different places like that. And conserving them is an issue we just haven't wrestled with yet. So I'm not sure if that addresses...
Sure it did. And then she wanted to know about, I think, doing talk shows earlier or sooner before for instance, a bill maybe in Congress or in the state legislature is actually right before Congress or the state legislature. And we certainly try to do that on our talk shows. It's not often that we're doing it just same day. We're often doing it prior to it actually showing up on the floor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Given the cycle in legislatures, it can be pretty confusing. I know, for instance, it took me years to figure out that a bill would, in Congress, for instance, go through the House and then the Senate and then the conference committee. And so it could be confusing to do that. But I think we should continue to try to do that.
Absolutely. Maybe we can use that public action to also keep people informed on what we're doing and get ideas from listeners, what they want to hear in terms of the legislative coverage. I know today we just did something on campaign finance reform, a bill that will be taken up in January. And we talked to the former governor of the state of Wisconsin about how the state's going to deal with its budget deficit. That's not going to happen until next year. So mm-hmm. So we're a little bit ahead of the game on that. And then I think this was more of an individual talk show program where you might get newspaper editors on a panel discussion to talk about issues in the news. We do the Week in Review every Friday on this program.
Right.
It's not newspaper editors, though. Actually, some of them are.
Sometimes. And in some cases, one of the local WPR stations does something like that on KUWS in Superior, for instance. They have a weekly show that's kind of an editor's discussion thing. So that's certainly something we have an interest in.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Luba, for all those great ideas. Let's move on to Saimir in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a suggestion. I don't know if it's possible once per week, just 1 hour, to create something like you have an internet answer.com where people can ask questions for important things. And there might be a person who is expert in liberal arts. Another week, someone who is in the housing or someone else who is in the healthcare, because the most important things for people are cars, homes, and healthcare and other things. For example, winter tires, summer tires, what's the difference, what is the benefit, people...
So, Saimir, I'm sorry, you want this once a week on consumer issues?
Yeah, like AnswerCom. You have an internet AnswerCom, and everybody can make a question, and people give answer. Sometimes they have one professional, but other people join, and they give good ideas.
All right. What do you think of that idea, Mike?
Yeah, that what my mind jumps to, Saimir, is that might work very well with the public action software that we were talking about earlier. And Larry Mueller's show, that Larry often has an expert, whether it's Garden Talk or the Weather Guys or whoever, that I think probably fits the bill of the kind of topics you're talking about. And then it would be possible for people on the internet to kind of chime in with their suggestions, as well as the ones that get through during the call-in show. Very interesting.
Yes, Saimir, thanks a lot for the call. Brad in Avoca. Hi, Brad. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Brad.
My suggestion would be possibly like a Capitol Beat show, maybe a weekly thing, maybe to fill one of those Saturday time slots, just with different legislators and what's coming through the pipeline, and they can give more in-depth of the different bills referencing what the other caller referred to, as well as maybe just things they're trying to get done and just general government stuff that people might be interested in.
Mm-hmm. And you don't get enough of that during the week, Brad?
Oh, we do, definitely, but maybe this would be, a set-aside time where You know, they could have expanded a little more and keep a little more specific on a specific bill, although you guys do an excellent job of getting things out currently. I do commend you for that.
Well, thanks. I wasn't fishing, but what about having a more of a newsy a government program on during during the weekend on Saturdays?
Possibly. I think that the one thing I'd sort of refer back to is that at the moment I don't envision us developing a new program because we'd need to staff it. And one thing that people probably don't know unless they've inquired into it is that the call-ins that we do have on the weekends are actually pre-recorded, and so that we have pretty minimal staffing at that time right now, and so that would change how we were doing things. But I'm intrigued, and you know, as resources become available, I like live radio better than tape radio when it's possible.
Thanks a lot, Brad, for the call. Here's an email from John in Milwaukee. How about picking up West Coast Live on Saturdays? It's a program similar to What Do You Know, but a little bit more into literary interviews. West Coast Live was a program that was carried on Wisconsin Public Radio some years ago.
Yeah. I don't know if they still distribute it nationwide. It does still continue out in California, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. And Brian in Portage has this email. A wonderful program produced by WNYC is Radiolab. It is a show that covers science topics in a very interesting and engaging way. Is there any possibility of it being carried on WPR?
And the answer to this one is a little more sure because, yeah, I'm very interested in Radiolab. It's actually, it's a very occasional series. They'll do about five at a time, then stop. And Jad Abumrad and Robert Krolwich, who some people remember from his years at ABC or earlier at NPR, do this program together. And here's the challenge. Because it's an occasional program, we don't have a regular slot for occasional programs, and so we've been wrestling with how we might do that. Maybe one of the things we could do with the weekends, and I'd be curious what people think about this, would be to create a slot where it changes all the time. And then we could do the five radio labs that come out and maybe documentaries from American Radio Works and so on.
Ah, so just a place for specials.
Yes.
There would not be a regular program there, but there would be something special or occasional.
Yeah, Radiolab's brilliant. It uses radio very artistically, and if someone wants to check it out, I think you could probably just use Google and look up Radiolab and get a sample of it.
Let's go now to Kevin in Biola. Hi, Kevin. Go ahead.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Could you explain who determines which callers get on the air? And are the callers taken in the order they call? And one more thing. I'd like to know what's the criteria for banning a person from being on the air?
Well, I think if you wouldn't mind, Joe, I'd like to turn that to you because you do this every day. And
well, then you'll have you'll have to follow up on it, though, Mike, because everybody thinks that this. The questions, if I wrote them down, was who determines what order the callers get on the air? That would be a collaborative effort between the on-air producer and. In this particular case, on this particular program, we have a director. That's not the case for every talk show, but the on-air producer and the director collaborate, and they're listening to the discussion, and they choose the caller that seems to advance the discussion or fits best into the discussion at a particular time.
Yeah.
So we do not take calls in the order received, and we do try to, especially if we're talking about a controversial issue, vary the callers, so we're not here, you know, 10 callers in a row agreeing with an issue or a guest, and, you know, we try to mix it up a little bit. So it is a decision that's often made by the on-air producer, and sometimes the host has a little bit of a say in it, but for the most part, that's who decides the order that calls get put on the air. No one's really banned from being on the air except in a couple of rare instances where someone made some sort of threatening remarks or has been harassing staff because of various issues. There's a couple of people who know that we do not invite their participation on the air because of their behavior and the way they have disrupted the talk shows in the past.
Sure. Well, and a couple of comments. One is that As broadcasters, we have a responsibility to make sure that certain things don't get on the air, you know, the seven dirty words and all of that. And we go to pretty extreme measures to try to make sure that that doesn't happen, including the 7-second delay thing, which we very rarely actually use, but it's there. And so that's one thing. It also, I wanted to follow up on one other point that you made, Joy. You said on this program, this is how we do it. And in fact, different call-in shows do handle it very differently. We allow people on pretty darn frequently compared to, say, Talk of the Nation, which won't allow a caller to come back on for months at a time. And so that does really vary according to the program.
Right. We have asked. It's pretty much an Ideas Network policy in terms of the Wisconsin-produced call-ins that we ask callers to stick to once a week, and that's so we don't have the same callers on every hour, every day, you know, week after week after week, because we want to open this up to a variety of viewpoints. And so there is a certain limitation there in terms of how often. But we just ask that somebody really is on topic and adding to the discussion or advancing the discussion. And for the most part, you often get on the air. You know, Mike, a number of people, this just happened when I had Senator Feingold on just last week. All of a sudden, we did get a number of people who wanted to talk about the 9/11 conspiracy, and that was not our topic. Mm-hmm. During that particular hour. And these are people who believe that the government was somehow behind the 9/11 tragedy.
Right.
So anyway, I would say we're not talking about that now, and we'd move on to a different issue or a different caller. I was not doing that to censor those callers. I was doing that because it was not the topic of the discussion during that hour. Does that make sense?
It does to me. Mm-hmm. It might not to some listeners. I understand that. I think that it's a delicate dance that you and your team and all of the teams face every day, because we do want to have a diversity of voices on. And, with the exception of the cursing or whatever, we're not afraid of having any opinion on. And in fact, I want that to happen. It's the very purpose of the Ideas Network, I think.
Absolutely. And we will do programs on that and have done programs on what happened on 9/11. Mm-hmm. And we'll continue to do so. So we have almost out of time and lots of callers and emails. Karen and Eau Claire emails. How about getting Kevin McKinley's financial call-in show back on Wisconsin Public Radio?
Well, actually, what we've been talking about is getting Kevin McKinley back on regularly, although not as a separate program. And my impression is that we're pretty far along in working that out with Kevin. And in fact, he's been a guest once in a while on various programs, including this
right
one.
Right here. Exactly. We'll have him back. And I think we probably don't have time to take another call, even though we have many. If you have suggestions, Mike, they can go to our website and email them in.
Absolutely. We have an ongoing log that's shared with the entire staff and read very avidly of the comments that come into our audience services team. And all you have to do is go to WPR.org and find listener feedback. It's kind of in the upper right in one of the columns there. Click that. There's a form that you can fill out and send your comments along. And we'll be happy to learn what you're thinking about.
And I'm sure that whenever there are more details, I'm sure, on the special holiday programming that's coming up as we get closer to the holidays, that'll be on there. And the public action, once that's ready, that'll be on there. So keep your fingers tuned to the website.
Yeah, I hope that public action would be a way for us to continue this conversation, for instance, that sort of thing.
Well, Mike, maybe we'll have you back with us sometime in January, or we'll talk off air. We'll have some sort of program in the beginning of January on New Year's resolutions for Wisconsin Public Radio. You get to give us the New Year's resolution you want Wisconsin Public Radio to adopt. That's coming up. Mike, thanks very much for being with us.
Always a pleasure.
Mike Crane, Wisconsin Public Radio's Chief Operating Officer. Thanks to Rob Ferret and Bill Martins for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.